This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey everyone, this is the Jade Marusa podcast and this is episode 10. I'm talking to you from Thailand about the good, bad and ugly in combat sports and pop culture. On this episode, I have a special guest. It is Pascal Jean-Michel, aka Paco. He is a coach at Lukto Pha and also prepares Joe Natterwood when he comes to Thailand to train for his fights at ONE Championship. So welcome, Paco.
Thank you. Happy to be on the show.
So Paco, where are you from originally?
So I'm born in France. I was born in France, near Paris area. But I moved to Marseille. So pretty much I'm born in Marseille. Because I was like 1 week old when I moved to Marseille.
Oh, okay. And where is Marseille in France?
Marseille is south of France.
Oh, south of France.
Yeah, by
nice.
The beach. It's like the Phuket of France.
Oh, beautiful.
So I've been there for like 16 years. Then I moved to the state. So then I stayed to the state up to 8 years ago when I came to Thailand.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you have quite a big background in martial arts. Can you tell us about that? When did you start martial arts and what was your first martial art and why did you get into martial arts?
Okay. So my first interaction with martial art was judo. And it was a punishment.
Why?
Because I was a football player, right?
Yeah.
In France. And I did something bad, I guess, in school. And my mom, to punish me, she said, you will not do football, you will do judo. And for me, it was, no, I don't want to. Because I don't want to wear pyjama and, you know. I was like making fun of my friend who was doing judo. So for me, it's a punishment. So I started judo for a year. Then she was like, okay, you can go back to football.
What?
Yeah. By that time, too, I was like a big, big fan of, you know, Bruce Lee. So I was like, I like this. I want to do. And then I signed up for Kung Fu.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, like, I was doing football and Kung Fu on the side. And then I developed a big interest in Kung Fu, right? To have a black belt in Kung Fu. So, yeah, this was my first martial arts. Then I did the Senda or Senchao, you see how they call mm-hmm. it. It's like the combat sport.
Is this all in the same school that you were learning judo, kung fu?
Different school. It was different school, but it was still near. But I was doing Senchao, like the combat sport. You know, it's like have some Muay Thai, have some kickboxing,
yeah,
have some judo. It's like a mix of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I did this. And then when I moved to the state, I continued doing kung fu, but a different style.
Okay.
Because it was a different style than my previous style. There was like so many styles of kung fu. And I continued Senchao. And at one point, I did a smoker Senchao versus Muay Thai. You know, so small. What happened?
Nothing.
No, the smoker is like, you know, there's inter-club.
Wait, and at the time you fought Sancha against, yeah, you were the Sancha fighter.
Yeah, I was Sancha fighter, and I fought a Muay Thai fighter, and I got destroyed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
like,
but isn't it mixed with kickboxing?
It is, but I mean, we don't use the shin that much.
Oh.
It's more like the instep, I would say, like the...
And it's more like just the kick would just like hit up and touch,
yes,
rather than like go through as a Muay Thai kick would.
Yeah. Mm. So that means like they kick and also the clinching. I have no clinching.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So then it was my first time that I met my first.
When was that though? Sorry.
2002.
Oh, okay. So interesting that they wouldn't do like that type of matchup. So that the whole show had different types of martial arts fighting with each other.
It was like smoke is like Senchao, but they try to promote Senchao versus Muay Thai. Like at that time, there was a lot of videos on YouTube, like like a discipline versus another discipline.
Yeah, I think it's because like before fight sports got so popular, it'd be hard to match people up depending on the weight or experience. So they kind of match up them the way, same weight, same experience, but a different type of martial art, yeah, and see what would happen.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so I have a headache. Like, yeah, he was a lefty as well, southpaw.
Oh, gosh.
So I have a big headache.
Wait, that was your first fight?
No, it was my sixth fight. And at first I was still amateur, but I thought I was the man. But no, I wasn't. But yeah, but anyway, so yeah. So I got clocked. And then I saw the style was very different. And then I was like really interested about it. So is where I met my first trainer, Boon Kurt Fairtex.
Okay.
Like that old generation.
Yeah.
So he was my trainer for a while. And then under him, I had my first few fights. Up to I moved to New York.
Oh, so where were you first?
San Francisco.
Ah.
So with the old...
That's funny because Matt Lucas, who we just had, he was also at in San Francisco for a while doing Muay Thai.
Yeah.
Did you cross paths?
A lot.
Oh.
But he didn't care about me at that time. That is true. I see him many times in smokers or in shows, and the community was very small there. And every time I saw him, so he shake my hand, he know the same people that I know.
Yeah.
Like the same, we all know the same because we were all came together. But it's not when I saw him like 2-3 years ago in the MBK fight. I say, yeah, you remember? And then I told him like many things about Bunker. I say, oh yeah. And then I told him about the fight he got, so I knew about him. Ah, I say, yeah. So now it's me, you know. Like,
Man, I saw you lose that fight.
Yeah, but there was some.
I'm just kidding, Matt, if you're listening.
but I liked his. He was a good fighter. He was a good fighter. He was not like the top superstar, but he was a fighter, hard of a fighter.
Yeah.
Cool. What we don't have anymore. Like some fighters just want to fight, but they don't have the heart of a fighter.
And back then, you said the community was much smaller, so most people they knew each other. And I'm sure now it's very different.
Yeah, but I mean, like for the old generation, like yeah, we all know each other. So that means we all when we see each other, we still keep like that family kind of vibe.
The more like traditional,
yeah, more traditional style,
Muay Thai and martial arts, yeah.
But yeah, now is too much about.
Ego.
It's different egos. Also, we have the social network, so everybody after two fights, they do a highlights. It's true.
Like it's my highlight reel. Fight. I'm just training. And
even if they lost, they do a highlight of the two punch they put into the guy. Come on. But yeah, it's like, it's too...
You like my fan page? I had two fights.
Yeah. So yeah, now it's like... But it's good though, because we have to evolve. So I mean, it's good to have those social network and those media to promote yourself. But I think the new generation of fighter use it too much.
And maybe not as humble as the older generation.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I agree. It's good and bad, definitely. It can become toxic, you know, like when they get obsessed with how many followers that they want or, you know, compare themselves to other fighters possibly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's good as well because you get noticed by sponsors or by gyms or even other fighters may call them out because of their social media. So that could be good too.
That's true.
I remember when I was fighting and I used to get girls messaging me, telling me they wanted to fight me.
Why?
I don't know. It's so strange, no?
Just because they want to...
Master Woody's daughter, I think, you know? Like, and then I'm like, it's, you know, you've had so many fights. I've only just started fighting. Like, you know it's not fair. But they want to kind of claim that they've knocked out or hurt Master Woody's daughter. So, yeah.
But actually, I think at some point, like, when I heard about you, like, it was like, The angel. And I was like, who's that girl?
Who's that bitch?
Yeah. No, but I was like, who's that angel? And then it was like, oh, let me get you pretty. Yeah, we have the Muay Thai angel promotion.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like, making the girls pretty. I was like, is that serious or whatever? And then I make my own research to say, okay, you have some fight. You really. I was like, ooh, that angel, Muay Thai angel. So, yeah.
It's like you can't really judge a book by the cover, you know? Like just because maybe someone's got a sweet face, it can still be a killer in the ring.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or just crazy. Maybe yeah. I'm not too.
Sorry.
Yeah, so you went to New York City after that.
Yes, then I moved to New York. Then I joined Five Points Academy. And actually, the trainer there was Steve Mills and Simon Burgess. One is British and the other one is American. Mm-hmm. And actually, Steve Mills is the one who developed my skills. Like, back then, I was still okay. I still have a talent. And,
but of course, like,
I was athleticism.
Yeah.
But he used that and developed me into becoming a good fighter.
Yeah, because I'm sure, like, from doing other martial arts, maybe you stuck with that style for a while, so it had to take some time to adapt into the Muay Thai style.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, that's normal.
But yeah, he was a great trainer, so I'm really happy to meet him.
That's good.
And then, yeah, so then I fought there. And 8 years ago, I was like, I'm going to move to Thailand, fight in Thailand.
No, wait. So first of all, let's stay on to New York. You were in the USA national team, no? At one point?
Yes, I did one representation for the US team in Germany.
Oh, just one fight?
No, it was like an event. It was like WKA World Championship.
Oh, so it was in kickboxing?
So it was, no, you have kickboxing, have K1, have Muay Thai, have Jiu-Jitsu, and have a lot of different martial arts. But I went for the Muay Thai. So the team have some kickboxers, some jujitsu, some grapplers. But I was a Muay Thai fighter for the team. And for each weight class, they would selection one athlete. So that means before in the US, they do a nationals competition. Mm-hmm. And like they take all the best of each category.
Yeah.
But that one, I didn't do it. But because for my weight class, the guy, I think he bailed or something. So because of my level of my skills, I was a replacement. So I just went as a replacement. And then
I was lucky. Not. So what was the result?
So then I went there and I have gold.
Oh, nice.
Gold, yeah.
That's great.
Gold medal. And then, it was good.
USA.
USA. Yeah, that was weird because it was USA. And then when I go to... It was a French team. And then I was like, come on, France.
Oh,
and they said, you speak French? I said, yeah, I'm French. So why you have the jersey, everything? I said,
traitor.
I'm American as well.
I was like, you know what I mean?
You know, I'm American, right? and I was not speaking like, okay, boo-boo. And I was like, yeah, I'm American. So you're right. Yeah, sorry, I'm from New York. So that's why. So yeah. But that was a good experience. It was a good experience.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's always a good experience to kind of go with a team and represent a place or your gym or whatever, you know. It's always such a cool feeling. And to get a gold. So, yeah, you got the gold what country was it again?
It was against Iran.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, against Iran. So, yeah. It was.
Nice. Okay. So, how long were you training in the States before you went to fight WKA?
I've been training. Muay Thai, you mean, or in the States?
Just in the States in general.
But from 2003 to 2011,
12. Okay. 7 years? Eight years?
Yeah, 8 years.
Oh, 8 years. So it's quite a long time. So yeah, you definitely got a good base in Muay Thai from 8 years, obviously. That's really cool. And then after that, you decided to move over to Thailand.
Yeah, then I moved to Thailand.
Because of Muay Thai?
Yes, at first. So I moved to Thailand. I have.
Where in Thailand?
In Samut Plakan. I was in Bunkered Sister Houses. So Bunker FedEx in San Francisco hooked me up to stay with a sister in Samut Plakan and to help me to. Because I didn't know nobody here, right? So I stayed there. Then from there, I went to train at a small gym. Like, I don't even know the name. Like, they were training, like, only when they wanted to. Like, they say, okay, train at 7 and 9 and 3 in the afternoon. So I was training. Nobody here. Then the day after, they come and believe once. Then they were holding pads. They were smoking at the same time. I was like...
One hand with a pad, one hand of a cigarette.
I was like, this is Not the Thailand that I know. I see many documentary, all my trainers. This is how they train. And then I called Bunkert. And then we're like, okay. Then he moved me to, he called Sitsop Pinong. So I went to Sitsop Pinong. Because he was, Monlit was one of the trainers of Fairtex before. So he can hook me up to go Sitsop
Pinong. Why wouldn't you go to Fairtex?
I don't know. Because Monlit was Sitsop Pinong already.
Oh, he was. Yeah. Okay.
Monlit was Sitsop Pinong already. So that's why I went there. Mm-hmm. So, so I trained at Sitsop Pinong for a while. For like two months, three months.
Oh, okay. Not long.
Not long. Then I moved to Pattaya to do a trial 1 month to Cho Nati Thong gym for 1 month in Pattaya. Mm-hmm. And in that gym was like some Russian guys. Okay? And I was getting ready for a fight. Actually, a very, very good fight. Because my trainer told me like, from New York told me I have a tournament in Canada.
Oh,
a $10,000 tournament.
Damn.
It was like a 8-man. It was like the Journey series with, do you know Trevor Smith? Trevor Smandish.
I think I've heard of that name.
He was in a contender with Yotsan Klai. So he had a promotion, Journey series, and I was one of the contenders for the tournament. So I was finished my training camp. I went to Pattaya for the last 3 weeks. And so that Russian guy, who knew nothing about clinching, so I was like doing technique, sweeping, and that guy holding to me. When I sweep him, he landed into my leg and my knee pop out.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So then I have to, I went to the hospital to try to see if it was something minor or major. And they told me it was, no, they didn't tell me nothing. They say, you have to do MRI. I said, okay, how much? 200,000 baht.
Huh?
I was like, excuse me?
Why? That's really expensive.
Yeah, it was the Bangkok Hospital, Pattaya.
Yeah, but I just had two MRIs and they cost around 10 to 12,000 baht.
Oh, but they told me 200,000 and I was sure because they showed me the bill. And I was like, there's no way I will pay you that now. There is no way. So, first thing I did is, the country I'm born, we have good healthcare. So I went back to France. I did the MRI, but it took a long time though because they're very slow in France.
I mean, it's government, right?
Government
funding. So I went for a while.
Government funding, but I claimed that I was coming back like no job, blah, 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 blah. So they give you like a status. So that allowed you to have any kind of treatment for free. So that means after that, I went to the doctor of the football team of Marseille, the professional football team. Those are doctors.
Smart.
Yeah. It's free. Why not? But they didn't like it though.
Yeah,
doctor
sure.
Didn't like it because they were like, you should get paid. But no, the government will pay you. But the minimum wage, they will not pay you like your rate.
No wonder there's so many riots and strikes in France all the time. Okay.
So yeah, so I went there and I got the surgery. Then I did.
How long were you out for?
I have to stay there for 3 months.
Wow, it's a long time.
Just for to do the rehab because it's paid as well.
Yeah, true.
So take advantage of it. Rehab. And then when I felt I was strong enough, I came back here. But I lost the motivation at that time because I was like, all those years of training, all those years of martial art, and then just like this, pop. So then I was like, I tried to train, but it was not the same. I feel, I didn't try.
You went back to the same gym?
No. Where did I go?
Phuket?
No. Oh, yeah.
I know you better than you know yourself.
Yeah, I was to Sing Patong. Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, then I went to Sing Patong.
Great gym.
Mm-hmm. And that time was the good fighter like Damien Alamos, Charlie Peters from England, was Penek. That's why when I saw him at one, I was like, hey!
Ah.
Penek, Pentai. Oh, yeah, that was the team back then. So, yeah.
I remember, yeah.
So I was there, I trained. But then I was like in training and partying moods. So he was not the same.
Phuket had him.
So yeah.
Phuket got him.
So now Phuket is my hometown.
That's why when we go there, you're like, hey, I'm going to call my friend. I got my friend over here. I got my friend. I'm like, damn, Paco, I got a lot of friends here.
He
knows where to go.
Yeah. So I went to Phuket. I stayed there, but then I was like, I can't stay to Thailand for forever without working, without fighting, without nothing.
Right.
So I went back to Bangkok. Mm-hmm. And then I have a friend who said, maybe, why you don't teach? I said, I never taught.
Teach Muay Thai, you
teach
mean?
English.
From the French man.
He said, I said, teaching? I never taught anything. He said, don't worry. The student here, they don't know anything. You just say, hello, how are you? For 1 week, then you teach them vocabulary.
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Okay, thank you, teacher. Sit down. You just play game. And so I found an agency. I found my first school. And I was still not comfortable, but I was good at doing game or playing with them. So I was very successful. So I was like, ah. And then with other teachers, they can give me some tips and what to do. And then I was teaching for like 3 or 4 years.
Did you get a teaching certification?
Yeah, I have a TEFL.
Okay.
I have a TEFL. But then that first year is where I met my wife in the same school. She was a teacher. She was a social study teacher.
This is how the love story begins.
So he was like, oh, how are you? What's up? Et voilà. So then.
Et voilà.
Et voilà. French magic. So I met my wife there. Then I stayed for the year at the school. Then my NJC contract stopped. So I should find a new school or whatever. But with my father. At that point, it was just a girlfriend, kind of. Because we cannot say girlfriend, boyfriend. You just.
Why?
Because they want to keep this, like, I don't know.
Oh, because you're working together.
The government, yeah, they want to keep the status.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
We're just friends. We're just good friends. But a good friend, you go coffee shop every day. But, yeah, good friends. So we were friends. And then we went to a holiday in Sri Lanka and Maldives.
Wow.
As a friend.
That's exotic. That's really nice. I've always wanted to go both of those places.
Yeah. Actually, we wanted to go to France.
Oh.
No. We wanted to go to France. But they refused the visa for I don't know what reason, because she was a government officer and she have background, like she a lot. So I was like
a great working background.
She had a great working background. Her father is a chief of police. The mom is a government officer. So I was like, excuse me, why? And then the funds and the guarantee from France was my brother-in-law, who has a winery in France.
Oh, wow.
So that means, is everything stable? It's not the,
So why?
No idea. And then the year after, okay, go to France. So it makes no sense.
Yeah, I think they're like that sometimes. It really depends on the time and the place, the person, whatever.
So that day we were so... When we received the refuse on the passport, we were so sad, so depressed. I said, let's go to Maldives. Okay. That's it. It was in Siloam because the visa service is in Saturn.
Okay.
So we went to Siloam in the first agency. How much to go Maldives and Sri Lanka? 20 out of 10. Okay, let's go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, it's closer to Thailand than France.
But I would expect to be like 50,000. You say Maldives, but the life is expensive there. But the ticket is cheap. The ticket is very, very cheap.
That's the trick.
Believe me, it's very cheap. If like 20,000 go to Sri Lanka, Maldives come back.
Wow.
For two people, it was 20,000. But when you're there, it's not 20,000.
Maldives, but I'm sure Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka is okay. Sri Lanka was a great, great experience. Great experience. But Maldives is good too, but yeah. You must have the money.
But there's not much to do there apart from like a beautiful place.
Yeah. If you're a diver or a snorkeler, Are you like just a look at the water? Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Water is blue. It's the quartz. Yeah, that's it. That's all you have to do.
Okay, so you got your why. You came from Phuket, became an English teacher, got married.
So I get married, then we get kids. And then I was kind of tired of teaching.
Oh, so you stopped Muay Thai for a long time?
Yeah, I stopped for 7 years.
Wow.
Like since that accident, I went to Phuket, trained a little bit, and I came back for my job, then I stopped.
Wow.
I cannot stop Muay Thai. I stop every exercises. So that means the first 5 years, I gained 40 kilos.
40?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're still here. So yeah.
Damn.
I used to fight, 72 kilos. 70,
wow.
72 kilos.
That's a big difference.
And now I will not tell you. Just do the math. Just do the math. All right. So, what happened after? So, yes, I was teaching and then I was tired out of it. And then I decided to create my own company. A company is doing English camp, French camps, like language educational camps, study tour. So, it's been like 2-3 years I opened. And about a year and 2-3 months, I was like, let's start workouts just a little bit, like do some Muay Thai. So I was looking at mini gym around my office, but Lektofa was the first one.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
When I put Muay Thai gym near, it was like Lektofa. But I knew near my gym, Sitso Pinang was closer, but your name popped up first.
Wait, where is your office?
Udam Suk.
No, Sitso Pinang is not closer.
No?
Because it's you have to go to the back, like the back of the pack.
It's Udam Suk by the end. Like almost at Shinakarin.
Yeah, but once you get to Shinakarin, you still have to like go either left or right around the pack.
Oh,
so
maybe.
It still makes it further.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so anyway, you was the first one. And then I make some research. I see, the MBK, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, okay. And then at that time, I have a friend who went to come to Thailand to train. And then I sent you a message. Hey, Jade, I have a friend who want to fight.
I remember now.
And you were like, okay, but it's illegal in Thailand to fight. I was like,
really? I said that?
Yeah, I said, for underage, it's illegal to fight. I was like,
oh, for underage?
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Oh, the one who has a child, the one to come fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, and how about I'm trying to join? I'm an expat, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, this is the price. And then, no. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna see. So then I go to the gym. I go to the gym and then I start training. And then, And then I think I see you with like a brief, hey, hello. I say, do I know you? No, yeah. You say, what's your name? I say, Paco. I think I heard that. I say, yeah, I sent you an email. I was like, oh, okay. All right. And then
okay. So a lot of people, I have a lot of people message me, and then I just answer the message very quickly, and I never really go into the profile of the person who's messaging me. So I never really look at the person. I just like I answer the question, and that's it. And that's when people message me personally, because the Lektofa website, email, and Facebook page, someone else answers the messages because I always answer too directly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not very good at it, but online customer service, I'm not the best.
Yeah, it's really cold.
I'm sorry.
It's like a fridge.
But now Paco realized.
No, I didn't realize nothing. I didn't realize anything. So what happened? So then I was training for like 3 months. Yeah, for 3 months I was.
On and off though.
Yeah, on and off because I have to work and come back. I was training for 3 months, and then one day it was like raining, like today, but more than today. It was flooding at the gym.
Oh, yeah.
and then you had like maybe 15, 20 French-Belgium group with called the customer. And Joe was here to get ready for a fight.
Hey, you just fast-forwarded like way too much.
No.
Because then you were like helping to hold pads for Joe.
But it's what I'm talking about.
But that was the first time you were holding
pads?
Yeah. Wow.
So it was last year around July. It's July last year. So it was July last year, exactly. It was like the group of Belgium.
Yeah.
And then Joe was on the ring. And then it was raining. And then I came with the car. And then I looked and said, whoa, everybody was on the ring. And then you look at me and say, do you know how to hold pad? And I say, yeah, that's what I used to do. Kind of in the United States. I was a trainer, I was a fighter, but I was training customer as well. I say, okay, that would be okay if you can hold for Joe. Fine. You say for Joe, you say for that that fighter, and I didn't see who was that. So I say, yeah, I can do. I can help you now. Then we go to the small room, put like it was flooding, so we put mat, like
raining,
three mats on top of each other, like it was like three layers of mats.
There was fish coming into the gym somehow. I don't even know how that happened, but there was fish coming in there.
Yeah, so it was like three. Yeah, so like, okay, so I was like. Every, within each round, we have to dry. So we're like, okay, so let's start. Pop. So it was the first time I was still holding for a long time. Like, so not for 8 years, 9 years. Not 8 years. So the first kick, I was like, boom.
I mean, Joe Natterwood, I mean, he's got powerful kicks. You see that?
That hurts. But I pretend I was like, it's cool, it's cool. And then I still didn't have my rhythm back. So like, I was like, wait, okay. Okay, punch, boom. Then he was like, okay, now focus, Smith. Then I was more in my comfort zone. So it was ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. So I think like we had a good interaction between me and him, like when I was holding and he was hitting. So he was understanding my combos and what it was for, like the distance and everything. So it was good. And then after that, I thought he was finished. I was like, okay. And he said, okay, can you put the gloves and spa? I was like, excuse me? I was like, excuse me, spa what?
Paco, who's been out of the scene for like, what, 7, 8 years? You had an injury, you gained 40 kilo, and then you just came back to training on and off, and then now You got a whole pad, whole focus miss, and spa with Joe Natterwood.
Yeah, he was like sparring. Bam. I was like, what? Sparring? I said, no, you just hit and I block. Ah, I can do. I say, yeah, I can do. Then he went, well, I think one round. So I go, ma. So I was still pretty quick and have decent hands. But my cardio was like, and then he said, okay, one more round. Okay, one more round. And then I was like, oh my God. I looked the timer. Okay, it's almost done. And then it was good. But it was a great experience. Then I was dying, but I still keep my composure. And then it was like, oh, good. Okay, tomorrow you can come back. But I couldn't dance because I have to go work the day after. So I was like, oh, no. I said, next week? I said, no, next week I have to fly to, where did he go?
Philippines, was it?
No, Malaysia. Malaysia.
After, yeah, it was
Malaysia. So that means you have to go to Malaysia because he came only for a short time that time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, oh, next time. And then I think Joe talked to you. He said he liked the way I did it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he enjoyed doing pads with you.
And then that's how I said, and then I contacted you. I said, hey, Jed, you know, if you want, I can help you when you have coach, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, yeah, you can if you want to help me. And that's how I started to coach, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I started.
I remember you were like, it really kind of put life back into you again because you've stopped for so long and then because you lost your passion being a fighter, but then you found the light again being a trainer.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Because I was like, yeah, because I sent you a message and I was like, you know, I'm happy I met you because this make me come back into Muay Thai because that was that was my baby, like Muay Thai. And then I'm enjoying it. I was like, yo, thank you. So yeah, that makes me, my love of Muay Thai come back again.
I mean, it's crazy because you were doing martial arts all your life and then you stopped for that 7 years just being an English teacher. It's a huge change. So yeah, I can imagine when you get back into it, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I stopped.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I remember when you were with Joe hitting passing. I was sat there watching. In between the rounds, I'd have towels and I would go around
like,
the room.
You were like... Okay.
And let's then try and dry the floor.
Okay, you're not glass sleep? Okay, all right, let's go.
Stop raining, please. yeah, that's very memorable. That's awesome. So since then, yeah, every time, yeah, since then, every time Joe comes back to Thailand before his fights on ONE Championship, and Paco's there to hold pads for him and to prepare him for his fights. And also, you've started training other fighters now.
Yeah, but actually, it's because of Joe. Because after that, not that time, the second time he came, then Claire, a girl from Hong Kong, was like, oh, can you start to train me? I was like, okay. But I was like, if I train you, it's my way, it's not your way. I mean, it has to be my way. And then she said, okay, okay, okay. And then it started. And then her first fight, she didn't do well because she didn't listen. But as a second fight...
At MBK.
The first fight with me was at the
Asiatic.
And then she did the MBK. She did a great fight at MBK.
She destroyed the girl.
But she lost. But she did a great fight.
But her boxing was on point.
Yeah, but her boxing was on point. And then at that fight, Little Tiger was there with us. And Little Tiger said, oh, I want Paco to do my hand as well, to do the boxing. And then, so yeah, at the gym, she met with me. She said, Paco, can we do boxing? And then she was doing Muay Thai with Pigel, Kugel. And I say, okay. And then what happened? And then Claire have one more fight in Asiatic. And then she won. She destroyed the girl. And then Tiger was like interested to make like kind of a team of fighting, like the team Tayo right now, the collective. Essentially like, okay, you're going to be like the full trainer for me to take care. And then she talked to Yaya. She said, come train with Paco. And then was like another Japanese guy who signed with ONE, an MMA guy. He's like, hey, come do with Paco. So I was like, oh, that's good. That's good.
So that's how it happens. That's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. But yeah, but the thing is, yeah, so that was good. And, well, of course, I'm not the best. You have a much better trainer. But still, I think I have a technique that they like and a system of training that they...
It's because
like.
You're disciplined as well. And that's kind of hard to find in Thailand, I think, to find a really disciplined trainer.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I think they know that when I train, like I say, 2 hours, I don't like joking in between.
Yeah.
I don't like stopping to joke. No, no, no. 2 hours you train. And when after, I'm the one who make the jokes. I'm the one who dance, who get crazy. But the 2 hours, no, you have to train.
I completely agree with that. Yeah.
But that's why I was trained anyway, so...
There so how many fights have you trained Tiger for now?
So for now, that's the she fought with me for Female Fight League, one in Phuket, another one in Phuket, and in 3 weeks we go to China to fight K1 style fight.
Oh, it's K1. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. You got the hookup for that?
Yeah, we have one of the. Of my friend of Facebook, he's connected with a promoter in China, and then he's just a guy in between because I don't speak Chinese.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's good.
So, yeah.
And you want to get Tiger onto ONE Championship?
Yeah.
So, can you just tell us a little bit of that story?
Okay. So, Tiger fights in December, right? In Phuket. ONE Championship in the committee, in the organization, was like agreeing for her to fight in 2019, like the January, February, whatever. But she had to win her last fight. We lost that fight. It was a good fight, but she didn't win.
No, it was ONE Female Fight League. That
the Phuket one first.
The Phuket one.
Phuket one first. Then they say, okay, next you have to fight again quick. So that was January, so it was a month after. He said, now you have to win. And that fight, I really trained her super, super hard. And she did a great fight. Like her opponent was very good too, though. So it was a really entertaining fight. But after that, they say, okay, now we're going to give you a contract. But not now. We need to find the opponent first. Then when it's confirmed, okay, we give you the contract. So I was like, if they say they give you a contract, why you don't sign? And then they find opponents after, right? So this was January, February, right? So then we wait. So then have fights, have a stamp fighting. Our category have stamp, Killer B, Janet Todd. It's only the atom weight for the one championship. So we were like...
She was even gaining weight to be in that category.
She was kind of gaining weight because like, they were like, oh, she's small, but she was not gaining weight. And then he said, okay, in April, I think you're going to fight in April. So we were like excited. Oh, yeah, where? In Manila, Philippines. Yeah, we're going to travel. So, yeah. So we were like this. So then he said, oh, no, we tried to make you in May. So they postponed for May. So they say, okay, maybe Killer B or Janet Todd. Mm-hmm. And then we were like, yeah, it's good. It's a good matchup. But in our head, it was like, we want stamp. Because we know she's good, but we want stamp. But yeah, we were like, okay, it's good. So then she can develop and see how she feel. And then stamp is the cherry on the cake. And then in May, they were like, what's her name? Janet and Killer B are injured. So they were like, Janet and Killer B are injured. And then I was like, but Janet is fighting against a Taiwanese girl. So how she can be injured? She's not injured, right?
Oh, so they just kept feeding you?
Yeah.
Like stories.
Kind of stories.
Yeah.
So I was like, why stories? And then I said, Tiger, okay, contact your Japanese contact. Because he's inside one, and say, what happened? And apparently, one or some in the groups of the matchmakers say they don't like Tiger style.
How can they not like her style? She's a great fighter.
She's a great fighter. It's very
so
active.
So entertaining and forward yeah. fighter.
They don't like her style, and she was too small. The too small, I would understand maybe like 7 months ago, but now she's walking at 50 kilo already. And she used to fight 45. Now she's fighting 49 already. Wow. Right? And the rate, the weight class of atom weight in one is 47.7 until 52. So now she's right in the middle, right, of that weight class. So that means she gained a lot. And she's moving
at
the same speed.
Yeah, I see her bigger.
So I was like very like upset and irritated when I hear that. Because then I see Janet's fighting against a Taiwanese that for me, is for me, yeah? I don't know, you can watch the fight. That girl have no business to be against Janet. She have only 4 fights, only 4 professional fights.
How can they even go on one championship?
How could she be against Janet? And I mean, I don't discredit Janet because Janet is a great fighter.
Yeah.
She's a really, really great fighter.
Is she fighting a fair fight?
But that girl have no business.
I mean, I feel like they're kind of feeding fighters. Because they want to bring up certain fighters, so they're going to feed them maybe easier opponents.
I guess so. Or feeding fighters, or promoting people that are more marketable, I guess. But have you watched that fight?
No, I didn't watch it. I just heard about it.
Watch if you have
time. Is it worth watching?
It would last one round and a half, so it's okay. You have time. It's like 1 round and 1 minute. So yeah, 4 minutes.
Damn. So maybe we should try and get her another promotions like Glory. You know?
But actually, no. Glory, don't think so. But one, for me, is a good fit for Tiger.
I think so too. And I don't really understand why they're not
like,
taking her.
For me, one is a great fit. That's why we're still trying. And like in 2 weeks before the fight in China, we're going to do the last week preparation camp at Evolve, which have marketing managers and some trainers that I saw at the last Joe fight. They say they're going to look at Tiger and see maybe yes,
she
maybe
she has
no.
a great record and she has so many followers from Japan.
She has 59 fights.
Yeah.
She has 59 fights.
Over 10 titles, I think, right?
Something she have like yeah, 12 titles.
12
titles. 12 titles already.
12 titles and so many followers from Japan. So... I don't know what they're doing. Anyway, let's hope she can get something soon. I mean, after this China fight as well, that'll give her more exposure in Asia.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Especially, she will fight at a heavier weight.
Yeah.
So, that means they will see if she really can handle it or not.
Yeah. All right, cool. And then, so you just went to one championship in Singapore because you were cornering Joe Nettlewood. How was that experience? You said the crowd was pretty wild. It was full.
Singapore, they like fighting. Eh? Singapore crowd is very different than Thailand. Like, they're really into it. They are buying tickets. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they buy ticket. You have to tell the truth. Thai people don't buy ticket, right? To go fight is not the culture because they don't like the fight combat sports. For them, Muay Thai
is everywhere, every day.
Yeah,
it's anytime.
They don't like it. They like to go to shows like Super Champ or
before K-pop.
Whatever. But they don't like to pay to see fighting.
Yeah.
Singapore, number one, they're very respectful and they're really like enthusiastic about the sport and they stay very polite. Hmm. You know, it's not like the crowd, the rough out, whoa, kill him. No.
In America or England.
Yeah, voila. Yeah, kill him, break his leg. No, Singapore, they are very, very good and it's full, packed, nice. Sold out. So yeah, so this was a good experience for me to see. And for one championship, they treat fighter very, very, very well. Very, very
Joe was saying, like, whenever you need anything, someone's on call.
Very well. I was really, really surprised because I see many promotions. I've been to many promotions, but one championship, they treat fighter very well. Like, when they go there, they give them some purse allowance for it. They have a SIM card, a mobile phone. Like, if you need something, you can contact them anytime. Mm. And they on time, on everything. If they say you have to go this place, doctor, blah, blah, blah. At that time, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. It's like a machine. It's really like a machine.
I mean, they have professional team for each different thing going on. So they have the people for that, the human resources.
Yeah, like they're really well briefed. They really know what they're doing.
And the last thing I want to ask you is, what are your future goals in life and in the fight scene? Are you, if you're still figuring that out, like what do you plan to do?
I'm going to come back to fight again. No, I'm joking.
What division?
Yes, I'm going to come back to fight, so watch out.
How many kilos do you have to
in the cut? Super duper heavy majestic weight? No. Now, I really know. I was not confused, but with everything that I did, it will be into Muay Thai or combat sports, not in my education.
Yeah.
So
I think that's really where your heart is.
So I think, yeah, it's where my heart is. So, I mean, it's what I would do the better. So I would think maybe, I don't know, opening a gym or into promotion or still into teaching anyway, so I still could be maybe a coach. But I still try to maybe like grow some fighters, but I don't know. But stay inside the mix.
I see that you're so into coaching fighters and yes, growing the fighters as well. So I think that's a good calling for you, anything that's involving the industry. So yeah, anyway, whatever you figure out, I wish you the best of luck. And I really thank you for coming on this episode.
All right, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and good luck with Tiger in China.
Yes, all right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.